on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line in our Inside the Tiger Den, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team, Go Tax Go. We have on with us Jim Derry from Datitude, also NOLA.com. Jim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Actually, Tulane just scored the touchdown. We'll see if they can kick the extra point. So they are
go for two.
The fourth down conversion.
Man, Herb and I felt the same way. Hey, go for two.
Just leave it all on the field, man.
Why not?
That's right.
By the way, Mike, a little Bayou birdie told me to say happy early birthday to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that, Jim, and whoever's the birdie was. But I got plenty of them today, so that's awesome. That's awesome. I appreciate it. Jim, well, I think we all saw last week the big disappointment certainly was LSU's offensive line play. I know you and I have talked about it because they got to be a different team this year offensively, and you got to be able to run the football when you need to and have to. Last week, you couldn't run the ball when you needed to and have to. And, man, USC took it to them. They were the more physical team. And I'd have never thought that coming into that game that USC would have been the more physical team up front. Your thoughts on, man, if you can't run the football and you can't do it when you need to and have to, you're in trouble, especially if you hit SEC play and this doesn't get better.
Well, not only that, Mike, now you lost the guy who ran the football the best last week out for the season. And so when you lose, you know, you're already kind of thin at the position anyway, and you lose one of your running backs. And you talk about the offensive line. You know, I went into the season saying maybe Will Campbell's one of the best left tackles in the nation. And, you know, he made a couple of, I think, big mistakes that kind of cost LSU in several different times. So, you know, look, they have to get together as a whole. You'd think that all these guys that have come back and played together for a couple of years wouldn't make the mistakes they made last week, but it was very disappointing to see. Mike, and you got to go through these next four games that you should win, and you got to get the chemistry back. You got to get it back together, and hopefully that's what you use these weeks for. Because when you get to Ole Miss, you got to be 4-1. You got to be together, and you know you're going to have to score a lot of points because Ole Miss certainly will.
Jim, that touchdown was called back, and so they do have a first and goal, Tulane, inside the 5-yard line. But the referees reviewed the call and said it was not a touchdown catch, as I think Dante Fleming was the receiver, and it looks as though he's trying to reach across to make that catch, and it doesn't come down with it. So, again, with 17 seconds left, 34-27. Kansas State over Tulane with a first and goal situation for the Green Wave. And we'll see what happens here. An incomplete pass on first down. But, again, going back to it, how would you have assessed what Garrett Nussmeier did in game one for them? I thought he played a really good first half. Man, I thought the play calling was super conservative in the second half of that game, Jim.
It was actually very surprisingly conservative. I thought he handled the role very well, honestly, and not just because of stats, 30 of 39, you know, the last pass he throws a pick, which kind of mars his stats a little bit. But, you know, look, he didn't get the pass on that last pass he threw on the scoring drive when the field goal instead of a touchdown. So I think that hurt him. But overall, I thought he handled it very well. And I don't think you could put a whole lot on Nussmeier. I thought he went in obviously well-prepared, ready to go. But I agree with you. I thought the play calling in the second half was very questionable. I'm not sure why they decided to be so conservative. And where was Kyron Lacy in the second half? That's my big question. I mean, they get four completions to him right off the bat, and then he kind of just goes away. They weren't even trying to go to him. So I didn't quite understand what the thought process there was there. You know, Mason Taylor was more involved, but they've got to find a way to get Kyron Lacy involved multiple times per drive. And I just thought they went away from him in the second half, and it obviously hurt him.
Jim, what's your assessment on Coach Baker's first game as a DC for LSU?
Well, Herb, I'll tell you this. I thought the defensive line play and the linebackers were outstanding. Look, you can't – you know as well as anybody, if you don't have the talent – you in the secondary, and I'm talking about the secondary, if you don't have the talent, you can have the greatest defensive coordinator in the world. And I think other than Stamps, I just think that the talent in the backfield is suspect. But I thought the defensive line was outstanding. Now, look, they may go the rest of the year and find out that USC is just as good as any team that they're going to play this year. I mean, maybe that's the case, maybe it isn't. But I thought up front, the trying to pressure the quarterback and get more pressure, which takes something off of your secondary, I thought that helped a lot. But in the end, you got to be able to get in there. You got to be able to figure out how to take pressure off your cornerbacks because you just don't have the talent. But overall, I liked what he did. I really do. And I think that this defense is obviously much improved. And it's hard to judge off of one football game. Let's see what they do now. Not so much this week, tonight, obviously. But as they go along, when they play UCLA, when they play South Carolina, before they get to Ole Miss, because Ole Miss is going to score points. So far, I like what I see.
Jim, interrupt the LSU talk, but it's basically over now with 5 seconds left. Darian Minsaw threw an interception in the end zone. So Kansas State is going to beat Tulane 34-27. And this is one of them games I'm sure glad I ain't coaching, Jim. I wouldn't be sleeping for days because you sort of had them where you wanted them, and then it got away in the second half. For the Green Wave, but it's going to end 34-27. Kansas State with a victory over Tulane, and it ended basically with an interception in the end zone. Minsaw was kind of let his receiver. He had some pressure, stepped up in the pocket, and he threw a pass a little bit wide of his wide out. So with that all settled, when I look at it, one of the things in this game is this is a game with a lot of young defensive linemen on this team. Yeah. You want to get them some experience now to see how well they handle it. Not so much against University of Southern Cal, but now they get an opportunity here against a Nicholls State team who really, man, talk about LSU struggled. They struggled last week running the ball and throwing the football. Getting those young defensive linemen some reps in, because you're going to need them somewhere during the season.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, how long do you even want to see the starters play? Because they'll just dominate the front line there. I don't think we need to see any more from them to know that they're good. So maybe you do get some of these young guys in like you're talking about. And I'm interested to see how long they play. I mean, if you take a 21-0 lead, do you just pull them in the second quarter? But look, you talk about the front line. I want to see the secondary. I think they need as many reps as possible. I actually want to see the starters back there in the backfield as long as possible, either that or, you know, maybe some of the other guys can come in and play. But, you know, this defense, we've talked about it well, much maligned defense. Again, even if you're better, when you play teams coming up, like Ole Miss, who's gonna score 35, 40 points a year, game per year this year, that's where it's going to come into play. So get these guys as much experience as possible. Maybe you see 20, 22 different guys play tonight. I think it's maybe even more than that. So I think you're right. Yeah. The question is, when do you do it? And you have to be careful because, you know, you don't want to let Nicholls just hang around, because when you see these games like this, and we saw it happen today with Bowling Green and Penn State, you know.
True.
So Penn State, it got nerve-wracking a little bit for Penn State. So you don't want anything like that for sure.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
One of the things, too, is to play the young safeties and Deshaun Spears, everything I've heard from LSU is how talented he is and that he's not going to be on the bench for very long. He's going to be playing a lot. And also, too, in Kyler Jackson, you know, we heard a lot about Jaron Gilbert when he came in from A&M and everything, but it kind of waned off after a while. I think in the course of time, real quickly, it wouldn't surprise me, Spears and Jackson are your starting safeties at LSU.
Well, they could be, Mike, but, you know, to me, I'm more worried about cornerback than I am safety. Don't get me wrong. I don't think the safeties were great. But, you know, Ryan and Burns, I'm just not sure what they were thinking, especially in that last drive last week. It still bothers me. You know, Burns with the silly penalty there, and I'm not sure what Ryan was thinking. They've got to get better at cornerback, and I don't know if J.R. Brown is any better. But I do want to see these young safeties play that you talk about, and I do want to see Spears and Jackson play, and I think they'll get plenty of playing time tonight. So, look, you got to get the youngsters in and see what they can do, but I'm so worried about what's happening at cornerback. I thought Ashton Sams played very well for the most part, but the other two corners are just it is obviously the thorn in this defense.
I think you got what you got.
I'll share something with you guys. Being there at the game, looking at it, and I was probably 10 rows up, sitting at the 35-yard line, 40-yard line. And it seemed as though what Jim is saying is, I think the talent is not 100% there. It's kind of evident, too, when you talk about these USC receivers and the defensive backfield, they were in position. I just think it's that next, you know, level of talent that takes you to awareness, finding the football, being sure of who you are. Because if you notice, there was about three or four plays where the ball was thrown inside on deep routes, and all the DB had to do was turn his head inside and
then turn his head
and intercept. It's there, but they didn't. I think they were so focused on where the receiver was that they did not remember anything about the field awareness of ball.
Okay, guys, when have we? Aren't we reaching an era there of all this mirror technique? Get your head turned around. And you see it all across college football today.
What is that?
It's just not at LSU. It's all over.
That's right.
And Herb, you as a quarterback, you had to, if you saw this happening over and over again, I mean, your eyes got to be lighting up, waiting to throw that pass when you see this keep happening over and over again.
Yeah, at the end of the day, because you're not even trying to complete the pass at that point. You're just trying to get the ball anywhere in the vicinity and then have the receiver try to come back for the football, and it's a play.
Either that or it's an interference.
That's the call. You're going to get the call every time. And see, this is what you guys have to remember, guys. I won Mr. Interception at Edna Carr back in 1991. Okay,
man, I swear I'm with Hebert again.
Just saying, man, that was 9 interceptions, 5 games, and I did it. And I know how to turn my head and catch the intercept. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jim. I'll give you the last note on that.
You know what? 33 years later, and the car's still doing the same thing, because I was calling the Shaw Carr game last night, and they had 3 interceptions last night, so they're doing the same thing, Herb.
There you go.
I think one of the things Herb and I both agree about, I think we know what A.J. Swan is as a backup quarterback. I want to see Ricky Collins. And hopefully tonight he gets that opportunity, because I think if something would happen to Garrett, because of the experience, you go with Swan. But, man, Ricky Collins has flashed it enough in the practice sessions. I want to see him in a real game situation.
You know, I'll tell you, Mike, I actually think that Ricky Collins might be the second quarterback. I mean, I don't know. And like you say, if he comes in and gets a chance to play a half and they play real offense, and he does, I mean, he may solidify his spot there. So I think that's an interesting situation for sure. Because I agree with you wholeheartedly. I definitely want to see what we can do, because it's exciting.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy. Thank you so much. And who you got this coming week you got to do the call for?
Next week I'll be doing Shaw and West Jefferson. That should be interesting. But then we got Shalom at Holy Cross the week after that. Looking forward to my time in the parish, always.
There you go, man. You go. Hanging out. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Mike. Thank you, Herb. Talk to you later.
All right, Jim Derry, who does the podcast Datitude, also works for NOLA.com. That